In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, if you're still looking to get prayer requests for the pilgrimage that I will be leaving for this afternoon, there's still plenty of time, to do that. Today is the feast of St. Rose of Our Lady, St. Rose of Mary, St. Rose of Lima. Today happens to be the parish feast day of that church that's just about 2 miles over in one of these directions, I'm not sure which, but they have a good pastor, Father Matt Libra. So if you have an opportunity to stop over at that church, that'd be a great little thing to be able to do, to stop and pray as well. Also to say a prayer for their pastor, because he's a very good priest. He's a very good priest. And for the school year, which is about to begin with some difficulty, as in all of our schools during this time. Now, St. Rose is a very beautiful saint, and there's much that could be said about her. That my former parish also was St. Rose. And so there's quite a bit that we could draw from. One of the beautiful things about St. Rose is that when she was born and granted the name Isabella Flores. Isabella Flores. There's lots of Floreses in my home, in my parish town where I come from. So I make great emphasis for that, to know that she was one of them, and they were a part of her family as well, being in that town named for St. Rose of Lima, New Mexico. But there's something very Spanish about her upbringing. One might say very New Mexican as well, that there arose in short order some difficulty about her name, because her face appeared beautiful as a rose, and so she was called Rose. And her mother decided she would change her name to Rose. But an aunt, for whom she was named, her aunt Isabella, didn't like that. And so that arose no little contention among the two, one always calling her Isabella, and the other one always calling her Rose. We know who won out. For as we will see at the very end of her life, our Lord addressed her as such. He addressed her with the word saying, Rose, you are my bride. Rose, you are my bride. You are my Rose. What beautiful words to be spoken. She was shared with beautiful words even from her youth. I tried to look it up this morning. I didn't find the exact passage, but she, at the early age of, maybe it was 4, as late as 6, that she was visited by God and told the exact day of her death. Can you imagine being a 4-year-old little girl, just playing with your dolls? The Lord appears to you in his glorious nature and reminds you that you've been chosen by him for himself, and told the day of your death. She would die in this particular year on the vigil of St. Bartholomew, the 23rd of August. Happened to be the day where she did indeed die. She knew from her earliest age, her earliest recollections, that she was totally going to give her life only to our blessed Lord Jesus Christ to be his bride, and purposed her whole life for that, knowing that she only had these 24 years to serve him before he would bring her home. When you come to understand that about Rose, and you understand why she lived her life so intensely and so directedly toward Christ, why she embraced suffering so much, because she said, I only have a certain amount of time to suffer for Christ, only a certain amount of time to become a saint, only a certain amount of time to show my love for him, and then to grow forever in that, in the kingdom which is to come. Because my time is short, I must be intentional. And so you see that intentionality lived out through the whole of her life. Saint Rose, she was granted, when she was 5 years old, that's what it was, she took a perpetual vow of virginity. And as she grew older, she thought that her parents might compel her to marry, so secretly she went away, grabbing a crude instrument and cut off all her beautiful hair, so that she would not be attractive to anybody who might be a suitor, for there were quite a number of them who were courting at that moment, not only for her family that had a little bit, a modicum of some property, but also because she was so fetching. She also is known to have peppered her face, which is to say, to take pepper and to throw it into her face, and the irritation that that takes caused great blistering upon her face, so that she would become disfigured and then no longer be desired by men. She saw that some were looking at her in a way in which a man ought not to look at a woman, even his wife. And so she decided that she would stop these men from falling into sin by disfiguring herself. Saint Rose lived her life through dreadful suffering, as the account says. And I will show you, I will read to you just a little bit about that. It says, after Rose was taken on the habit of the Third Order of St. Dominic, she doubled her former austerity. She inserted small pins over her very long and very rough hair shirt. Day and night, she wore under her veil a circlet studded inside with sharp needles, which, by the way, nobody discovered for a long period of time that they were even there, thinking she was doing a vain thing with this crown, where on the inside it had the nails, which greatly caused her pain. Treading the difficult footsteps of St. Catherine of Siena, she girded her loins with iron chains and wound around her body it three times. She made a small clot of gnarled logs and filled the spaces between with shards of broken pottery. This is what she used for her pillow. In a distant corner of the family garden, she built herself a narrow little cell. It should be noted that it was very damp in that area, and so there were stinging mosquitoes all over the place. And so, at the distance at which she was, few people ever wished to go visit her because they would be eaten up by the mosquitoes. Interestingly enough, though she took on so much suffering, God did not let his little bride be stung by any one of these mosquitoes. So she never had a bite. There in that little cell, she devoted herself to meditation upon heavenly things. She subdued her frail body with frequent disciplines and fastings and vigils, and her body weakened and her spirit was very strong. She triumphed in the struggles over the apparition of the demons and attacked them fearlessly and overcame them. You know what one of the greatest sufferings that she ever endured was? Not any of these bodily things which she willingly looked on and cherished. It was actually the fact that she couldn't make it to Mass every day. Because she knew it would not be right or proper for her to leave her father's house and her mother's house without a male accompaniment. And so, since that was not easy always to find, she had to suffer within her own cell and stay with Jesus at a distance, recognizing that he was there being loved at Mass, and she was not able, she who was his bride, to love him in that same intimacy. That was indeed her greatest suffering, the great many times where she did not have that. Maybe to think about that today as you're here at Mass, that you have that grace which so often she was deprived of. Continuing on, though she suffered dreadfully from the pains of the many illnesses, from the suffering reviling of her members of her own family, and from the malicious tongues of others, she protested she was not afflicted, indeed, as she deserved to be. She didn't get enough. They didn't tell her all the bad things that were truly about her. During 15 years, she would pine, meaning long, for several hours at a time, most wretched in the throes of spiritual desolation and dryness, much akin to what St. Thérèse of Lisieux experienced in her time of being afflicted with atheism. Though she didn't actually believe that God didn't exist, she received that same terror which many souls in that last century would experience as atheism permeated itself through the world, suffering which she willingly engaged in Thérèse, as well as this Rose of Mary. She bore these sufferings with undaunted courage, these agonies more bitter than any of the forms of death that could be. After that period, she began to experience abundance of heavenly delights. She was honored by visions and melted with seraphic ardor. Though her frequent appearances to her, she was marvelously familiar with her guardian angel, with St. Catherine of Siena, with the Virgin Mother of God, and others. She was privileged to receive these words from Christ with which I began the sermon, where our Lord turned to her and said, "Rose of my heart, be thou my spouse." At length, she was happily born to that paradise of that same spouse. Because she was well known for miracles both before and after her death, Pope Clement X enrolled her among the saints and holy virgins. St. Rose's life is marked by suffering, and there's a reason why, as I had already spoken of, that she saw that her time was short. And she realized that to suffer means to be at the foot of the cross. And as I shared with you during the month of the precious blood, what does it mean to be if you are at the foot of the cross? Who's on the cross but Christ himself? And so you are closest to Christ when you are at the foot of the cross on a pain of suffering. Indeed, what is our Lord's suffering spoken about in the Gospel of John, he who is the beloved disciple? It speaks about the sufferings of Christ as what? The book of glory. Our Lord speaks about it as his glorification when he would be raised upon the cross and suffering. Should not you and I consider it to be the same? St. Rose is a good intercessor to come to understand that. I'll close with you with one of her most famous writings, where she speaks about the way in which she herself engaged in suffering and help you hopefully to see suffering as St. Rose saw suffering. In my former parish, I did read this particular passage at an installation, that was being made of a image of St. Rose of Lima. In the parish area, there was in the town central office, whatever that place is called, of the secular sphere. They had a beautiful image that's actually taller than I am in person. And she, and there in that beautiful place, read this little passage that speaks about suffering so that we who suffer can go to that very place, look at Rose, and see that our sufferings should make sense when we understand who our patroness is. She writes this. Our Lord and Savior lifted up his voice and said with an incomparable majesty, "Let all men know the grace that comes after tribulation. Let them know that without the burdens of afflictions, it is impossible to reach the height of grace. Let them know that the gifts of grace increase as the struggles increase. Let men take care not to stray and be deceived. This is the only true stairway to paradise. And without the cross, they can find no road to climb up to heaven." End quotation from our Lord. Now follows what St. Rose's response was to this. She says, "When I heard these words, a strong force came upon me, and it seemed to place me in the middle of the street, so that I might say in a loud voice to people of every age, sex, and status, 'Hear, O people, hear, O nations, I am writing to you about the commandment of Christ by using words that came from his own lips. We cannot obtain grace unless we suffer afflictions. We must heap trouble upon trouble to attain deep preparation in the divine nature, the glory of the sons of God, and perfect happiness of soul.' That same force strongly urged me to proclaim the beauty of divine grace. It pressed me so that my breath came slow and forced me to sweat and pant. I felt as if my soul could no longer be kept in the prison of my body, but that it had burst its chains and was free and alone and was going very swiftly through the whole world saying, 'If only mortals knew, if only mortals would learn how great it is to possess divine grace, how beautiful, how noble, how precious, how many riches it hides within itself, how many joys and delights. Without doubt, they would devote all their care and concern to winning for themselves pains and afflictions. All men throughout the world would seek trouble, infirmities, and torments instead of good fortune in order to attain the unfathomable treasure of grace. This is the reward and the final gain of patience. No one would complain about his cross or about the troubles that may happen to him if he would come to know the scales on which they are weighed when they are distributed unto men." End quotation. It's not an easy teaching to accept. But St. Rose, having lived it, gives you and I an insight into what they should be looked at. In truth, you and I, if we're headed for heaven, we only have this life in which to suffer, right? To suffer meritoriously. And so, from that perspective, each bit of suffering which passes our way is incredibly precious. For eternity is very long. This life is very short. And the sufferings which we willingly engage in with the same generosity, God willing, as St. Rose does, is the way in which we add to the glory of God. Indeed, will increase the joy in which we're able to experience in the glories of heaven. When you and I struggle with a cross, ask St. Rose for intercession. And with her aid, she will impart you and I a grace in which to suffer it, maybe not as well as she does, but a little bit better. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.